Coming up on today's show.
Again, once you go back to God and you realize that all of a sudden that, you know, that hole in your heart's gone and you're like, man, why did I stray away?
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Stay in the know. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. I'm not going to overdo it with emails. Just once a week when a new episode comes out. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you'll see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I do truly enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. With all the advances in health and nutrition and science and things like strength and conditioning, we see more and more athletes having much longer pro careers than used to be the case. In the NBA, LeBron James is going to turn 40 years old at the end of next month. In the NHL, Alex Ovechkin is currently 39 years old and is still thriving. And in the NFL, quarterback Aaron Rodgers will turn 41 years old next Monday, December 2nd. A couple years ago, we even saw Tom Brady lead the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns at the age of 44. Many of us probably know, say, grandparents or perhaps even great-grandparents that have been blessed to live into their 90s, not to mention more and more people living to 100 years old these days. In each of these cases, it's about giving thanks daily for being blessed to see another day here in God's heavenly kingdom on earth. Yes, the gifts of athletic talents are worthy of gratitude too, but so is the very breath in our lungs. In the Old Testament, the New American Standard Bible shows Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8 as, quote, "Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all." Let's do a little test here. See if this fits you or someone you know, maybe a family member, neighbor, someone at church, a coworker. Okay, here goes. You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet, health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the boxes of affordable, faith-based healthcare and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been the head baseball coach at Jesuit High School in Tampa since 2014. He had spent many years coaching at Key West High School, who, as a player, he had led to a state title back in 1995. As a student athlete at the collegiate level, he played for the University of Tampa, won an NCAA Division II national title in 1998, and was twice named All-Conference. At Jesuit, he has led the baseball team to such highlights as state champions, district titles, and even being ranked number one nationally by several national baseball media outlets. His faith story includes having grown apart from the church as a young adult and later finding his way back, which he will talk about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Miguel Menendez.
Thank you. I appreciate the intro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that you are a lifelong Floridian. Am I right? Tell us where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
That is correct. I was actually born in Tampa, and we moved to Key West when I was about a month old and lived there and grew up there. But and I'm the oldest, and I have one younger brother. So it was okay. The four of us living in our house in Key West.
Okay. And I might have given this away by way of something that I mentioned at the end of that intro. But regardless, this was a Catholic household that you were raised in, yes?
That is correct.
Just tell us a little bit about the presence of the Catholic faith for you and your brother growing up with your parents down in Key West.
Well, you know, I think it started probably with my grandparents. You know, we were fortunate that we lived next door to our grandparents. So, you know, we grew up going to church either Saturday night or Sunday mornings. And even, you know, for me, it was obviously we, you know, First Communion and doing everything that we needed at our, and doing everything that we needed there. But then also for me, I was not so much my brother, but myself, I was an altar server growing up for a time in the Catholic Church. And, you know, Saturday night mass, we didn't miss. And I would be there Saturday afternoons and serving. And it's something I really enjoyed in, you know, being here a Jesuit now kind of and getting to see our young men take part in the being altar servers and taking part in the mass every day. It brings back a lot of great memories for myself.
Was there a Catholic school that you attended down there in Key West?
I did not. St. Mary's, which was the local church there, the Catholic church, they had a school. It was more of a pre-K kind of school, and it used to have a high school at one point. In fact, my dad actually graduated from the high school, but it kind of, they stopped over time. So I was a public school kid, but you know, they've kind of, they're restarted that program now. I actually have some nephews that went to, they're going to school there now. And they're actually just reopening the high school this year. I think is the first year of they're adding freshmen. So they're going to get back to that. So, which I think is a pretty, you know, special thing. And actually, like, it's, you know, St. Mary's and the Academy of Holy Names here in Tampa, my daughter graduated from, they started from the nuns in Key West and St. Mary's and came up here. So my dad and my daughter have kind of that little connection of, you know, graduating from high school with the same kind of nuns and everything. So I think that's a pretty unique connection as well.
Wow. Yeah, I'll say. You are one of those guests where I'm going to be surprised if you say that you did play sports other than baseball. Was that the case? Did you play anything else when you were young? And how did you first start playing sports in the first place? On your own, or did someone, say, in your family kind of, quote unquote, nudge you into getting into athletics?
So I think it was kind of a family thing. My grandfather, and I did play some sports. I played a little bit of soccer when I was younger. I played a couple years of football, but it was mostly baseball. I was always a baseball guy, baseball junkie. But my grandfather is kind of really, again, who, you know, who kind of got me into it. He coached down there in a little, it's honestly why I coach at this point. Like, he coached the local little league for like over 30 years. It started with his, you know, one of his sons that he started coaching, but he loved it so much, he just kept on coaching. And, you know, from that point until the time my brother and I, he coached both my brother and I. And when my younger brother finished at the Little League is when he kind of finally retired. But it was over 30 years of coaching, and, you know, to see the respect that his former players still had for him, and they would come back and visit him, the, you know, guys that moved away out of town. And, you know, he coached them at 10, 11, 12 years old, and they still had such a great affinity for him that they would come back and see him. And it just always made me feel good. And it was him. We had a little grocery store growing up. We had the first batting cage in Key West. We had a pitching machine that the high school didn't even have a pitching machine. He had a pitching machine, and we would go back there and hit and do drills and do stuff every day, it felt like. And I just loved it. I fell in love with it at an early age, and it's probably why I'm still doing it now.
Do I understand correctly, the grocery store that y'all had, the pitching machine or the batting cage or both, one or both of them were behind the store that you had?
Yes, both of them behind the store. So we had, it was the only batting cage on the island for a long time. It was the only pitching machine on the island for a long time. And I remember growing up, and I would work in the summers or on the weekends to help my dad out. It was, you know, family-owned business, obviously, a little, you know, little grocery store. And I would be 10, 11, 12 years old working behind the counter. And my grandfather and my grandmother would come in, and he would make my grandmother work for me so him and I could go in the back and hit in the batting cage. So so that's just kind of how we rolled. I just, you know, I thought everybody had that access to stuff like that, but I was fortunate that I was the one that actually did have access to it.
Interesting. But I like hearing all this because I think too many people think of Key West solely as a tourist destination, and you don't think about things like Little League baseball and the locals that are looking for places to go and participate in sports. So it's great to get that insight from you. You attended the University of Tampa to play baseball. Did that mean that you left Key West and were up in Tampa by yourself, or had the family maybe moved up there? Because what I'm getting at is, having been raised in a Catholic family, I wonder if when you got to college, you were kind of puffing your chest out, hey, everybody look at me, college baseball player, and you started worshiping the sport, and maybe God and your Catholic faith took a back seat. Just tell us about that period of time in your life, sports and faith-wise, when you were at UT.
Yeah, so I moved up here by myself. My parents and my younger brother was still in high school at the time, and so my parents were still in Key West. And I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you kind of get away and on your own for the first time, and the routine kind of goes, I don't want to say out the window. That's probably not a good term, but it's easy to kind of to lose sight of what your focus needs to be and should be. And, you know, for me, it was like, you know, baseball, and you know, even more so than class and my faith, and just kind of lost my way during that time. I mean, as far as my faith life, I lost my way during that time. And you know, I just kind of took things for granted. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a good Catholic. I don't have enough time. You know, all the excuses I think a lot of young people use, and you know, it's one of the things that I regret in my life.
So when you say it was baseball, is it just because, Bruce, I just told you my backstory, I was so passionate about baseball, or was it I was baseball because you were actually seeing, is there a chance for me to make the major leagues someday?
A little bit of both. I mean, I thought I was a pretty good player, and I thought, you know, you couldn't have told me at that point in time that I wasn't going to play in the big leagues. I thought I was talented enough and good enough that maybe, you know, that there was a chance for me to get drafted and have an opportunity to play professional baseball. That didn't happen. I mean, obviously I wasn't good enough, but in my mind I was. And so that kind of became my focus of, like, this is what I really want to do. This is where I'm spending my time. And to the detriment of other aspects of my life, including my faith life, it just kind of, you know, everything else kind of took a back seat. Even, you know, my wife now was my girlfriend back then. I probably, you know, didn't probably treat her the way she needed to be treated as well, because I was so focused on myself and baseball. And, you know, again, those are all things that I got to live with, but it's things that luckily I have the experience now that I get a chance to, you know, try to share with my guys here at Jesuit.
Yeah, and audience, I think this is a really important lesson for those of you that might have someone college age in your family, a student athlete in particular. If someone says, oh, what school do you go to? And they say, I play for the University of Tampa. No. You just heard Miguel say it. Baseball was first and everything, including his studies, was second. The only reason that he's able to play baseball at University of Tampa is because that's where he's going as a student for college. So make sure that your student athletes and your family audience are saying things the right way and not putting all the emphasis on baseball. And Miguel, just clarify for us, in the intro when I said that your faith story includes having grown apart from the church as a young adult, was it just those college years, or did it even continue on? I just want to understand over what period of time this took place.
It definitely extended beyond even after once I graduated and finished playing. You know, it went a few years after that before I found my way back, but it definitely carried on. You know, it's amazing, right? You know, I tell my kids this all the time, and I have two that are, you know, one that just finished college, one that's a junior in college, and then my youngest son is a sophomore here at Jesuit. And I try to explain to them all the time, like, they're in this bubble, this cocoon of, you know, safety with their faith life and knowing that, you know, mom and dad are going to help drive that. But, you know, my goal and what I tell them is, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to, you know, appreciate your faith life for yourself and want to go do it for yourself, because there's going to come a point in time when I'm not there to make you go to church every Sunday. Right. Like, and that's the goal. But again, and that's probably for me, you know, it just, when I got out of that cocoon of probably, you know, being at home and doing those kind of things, that it got away from me. And fortunately, you know, God is forgiving and God is so great that, you know, once I did make it back to the church, it's, you know, it's almost like you never left, right?
Yeah, and audience, that's another lesson that goes with Tampa and Key West being 8 hours apart, mom and dad aren't there to look over Miguel's shoulder and make sure that he is going to church every Sunday. So that's something to consider when your young Catholic student athlete is going away. Audience, baseball is a team sport. There's some great testimony in it for brotherhood, fellowship, teamwork. You were never meant to do sports or your life on your own. When it comes to an attachment to pornography, you are not alone. There is hope. Let the experienced coaches at Freedom Coaching be your guide to lasting healing and wholeness. Visit freedom-coaching.net and be set free forever. Be sure to let them know that you heard about Freedom Coaching on Catholic Sports Radio. I want Miguel to continue his story and tell us how he found his way back to the church. Plus, I want you all to hear what he's doing at Jesuit High School with his student athletes. And I don't mean baseball skills and drills or wins and losses. However, this is the episode that starts us into Thanksgiving week. So let me go out of my way to wish everyone a blessed and happy Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. I hope you all have a nice day wherever you are and however you spend it. Heck, maybe you'll use the 4-day weekend to catch up on listening to some past episodes of Catholic Sports Radio that you have missed. I would love it if you might tell people that you see for Thanksgiving about Catholic Sports Radio so we can continue to bring more people to this ministry and grow the audience. The NFL games on Thanksgiving Day might be your perfect conversation starter to let people know about this show and our weekly conversations about the mix of faith and sports. I would also be grateful if you would prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio, as you've heard me say over other episodes of this show that guests and listeners have done. Even a seemingly small act of generosity can grow into something far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, the creation of a community of love. Ephesians 3:20 says, quote, "Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us," end quote. Together, let's bring God's word through the mix of faith and sports to more and more brothers and sisters in Christ to help lead them closer to him. You can help by using the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. That blue button is a fast, easy, and secure way to make a financial gift. It will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website, or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do when guests and listeners have sent in a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Miguel, before all that, you told us about having grown apart from the church. When and how did you find your way back?
It was, you know, the birth of my oldest son, you know, my first child in 2002. My wife and I were married in the Catholic Church in Key West, and, you know, even that probably didn't bring me, you know, fully all the way back. But once my oldest son was born, and then, you know, it was probably a lot of prodding from my grandmother, too, as well during that time of, you know, hey, you know, you need to set the example, and, you know, your son needs to be baptized, right? And all those things. And it's like, you realize, like, okay, there's a greater purpose here. And, you know, it can't just be about baseball. And it, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that for a long time, that's all I was worried about. And I love the game of baseball. It's great, but I love the game of baseball for what it allows me to do now and what in the way that I'm able to, you know, help lead young men, right? Like, and to be proud of their faith life, to be, you know, good husbands, good community members, like good fathers. That's what I want. That's what I take pride in. I mean, we all love to win, don't get me wrong, but it's those kind of things now. It's when I get, you know, those text messages and photos of, you know, my former players having kids and getting married and doing all those things. It just makes me proud. And but it was you know, the birth of my son that made me realize, like, you know, I needed something a little more. And, you know, there was a hole in my heart, and I knew what it was, and it just took a minute to get back there. And, you know, again, once you go back to God and you realize that all of a sudden that, you know, that hole in your heart's gone, and you're like, man, why did I stray away?
Mm-hmm. That is powerful. That is powerful. And something that I picked out of all that, although Miguel didn't say it word for word, but it doesn't excuse it. But audience, I think you can see where someone would get to the point in their life that Miguel did, which is you're in college, you're finished, you're not going to continue playing baseball. You're wondering what your first job is going to be. You love baseball so much. Can you continue with it? Right. So it's easy in that time to say, my focus has to be starting a career. What am I going to do with myself? And all of a sudden, faith takes a back seat. And then as you just heard him say, you do notice that there's something missing. So praise God that his grandmother and that the birth of his child led him back. In the lead up to today, Miguel, you told me that there's an annual mission trip that Jesuit High School does. Tell us all about that.
So there is every year, and we go to Rosebud, South Dakota, and work on the reservation there. And we take about 8 to 10 kids. Just kind of depends. Coach Andy Wood, who is the track coach here, he really spearheads it. I've been fortunate enough to be able to go with him, and it's such a great time that we get to go up there. And obviously, the kids have a good time. Where they're going to a part of the country where a lot of them have never been. Right? I mean, a lot of them are Florida boys, just like myself, and. To get up there and kind of see a different part of the country, but more importantly, just to be able to spend time and talk about their faith. And we work a vacation Bible school in the morning till about 1 o'clock. And then we go around and they kind of send us out to different places to help elder people in the community to fix up their homes, do some yard work. We've done things in the cemetery to help clean up the cemetery for them. Hmm. Whatever it is, it's just such a great time. And our guys, for us, it's a great chance to reflect. Like every night we do daily reflection, and we spend time talking about the day and what they're learning and what they're seeing, and to hear them and see their growth from the first day to the last day and the lasting memories they have. I mean, it's so good. And, I think sometimes, I fall victim of, like, I see these guys every day on campus, and you get in your routines and your comfort of how you see them, but to get them away from this and doing something completely different and get to see them in that light, you really get to see how talented and how great the young men are that we have here on campus.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And keep in mind, audience, that that's something out of state that Miguel just described. So Miguel, you've been coaching at Jesuit High School since 2014. And as I read off in the intro, there's been lots and lots of success for the baseball program. However, you have made your focus to do more with those student athletes than just coach baseball skills and strategy. You kind of fast forwarded to they're graduated, they're grown, they've moved on with their life, and they're texting you and thanking you for what you did. But fill in that gap there. Share with the audience about your mindset, your approach, the way that you have incorporated your faith life into your sports life when you are with these student athletes at practice, during games, in the locker room, et cetera, on a day-to-day basis during baseball season.
Yeah, we talk about, baseball is a great game, right? And I think it teaches a lot of life lessons. And for me, it's trying to use those moments because, I see a lot of similarities between these young men and who I was as a player, as a person, right? And so, I just try to help them and guide them and, like, hey, there's more to it than this, right? Like, I tell people this all the time, like, if you're coming to Jesuit and, we're fortunate, we have a very good baseball program, there's no doubt about it, but if you're coming here just for that, then this is not the right place for you.
Whoa.
It's about everything that this school has to offer. And I truly believe that the reason we are as successful as we are is not because I'm this great coach. It's because, number one, we have really talented players, but more importantly is the school itself, the brotherhood that the school itself teaches, the push and the faith life and what they get in the faith life. It makes my job easy, honestly. Like, it makes my job a lot easier because we can sit here and talk about it. I taught and coached at Key West High School for 13 years, and being in a public school is definitely a lot different, right? Mm-hmm. And how we can approach things. But, here it's like we don't have to hide from our faith. We get to use our faith for the strength that it should give us, right? And so, it's what we try to do. And, I'm fortunate that I have a lot of really talented coaches who share the same ideas and beliefs that I do and that the school does. And, they don't just get it from me. We do a weekly, we try to have somebody come in and speak to our guys once a week. Every Monday we're in the classroom before we start practice. And, it could be a baseball guy. It could be just a community member, somebody just to come talk to them about, what it is to be a man, how to grow and all those kind of things. Like, we're just trying to give them life lessons. And, if we come here and all we're worried about is winning a baseball game, then we're failing these young men, right? Like, and that's what I feel like. And, That's how I try to approach this. Again, we want to win. It's important to them. So, and it's important to us, but it's not the most important thing. And I think once I realized that, I think that's when we've really taken off. And I think our guys have really, have really bought into that as well.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now I'm going to put you on the spot because there's an interesting story about your oldest son's junior year of high school and baseball tryouts. Tell the audience what I'm referring to and the lesson that goes with this.
So my oldest son, we had a really good team that year. That's one of the years we were ranked number one in the country in the preseason, and we had just won the state championship. We had a bunch of guys coming back. He was a junior that year, coming up from the junior varsity, and I had to cut him. He wasn't quite good enough and ready to make the team yet. He wasn't strong enough, and there was just too many guys that were better than him. And was a tough conversation, probably to this day the toughest thing I've ever had to do. Which I count that as a blessing. If that's probably one of the tougher things that I've had to do, then that's probably I've lived a good life and a fortunate life, I guess I should say. It wasn't easy, but to his credit, he handled it well. My wife handled it well, more importantly. I mean, we had always kind of talked about it, that if those things happen, like, this is my job. Like, I have to do what's right for the program and for the school, for the job. It's not about just me or it's not about him. It's about what's best for everybody. And but he really handled it well. I mean, he worked his butt off, and he came back in the next year and worked hard in the weight room, got stronger. He played in that summer and got better. And when he came back and made it as a senior, like, he earned his way on the team. And I think – for him, I think it was a valuable lesson in, in having to fight through adversity, right? Like, life's not always going to be easy. And I think it's helped him to this day immensely. And as much as he was disappointed, and I know it probably still hurts him some, I think he would tell you that it was probably the best thing to happen to him as well.
For sure. For sure. Wow. There's a lot of lessons out of all that. That's great stuff. That's great stuff. Let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony. And you mentioned the kids a couple times, but the family that the two of you have made as well.
Yeah. So we just celebrated, my wife and I, my wife, Lori, we started dating when we were seniors in high school. So we were high school sweethearts, and we've been married now for 23 years this past October. So and we have three wonderful kids. My oldest, Miguel Jr., just turned 22. My daughter, Elizabeth, who just turned 21 actually here earlier in November. And then my youngest son, Jackson, who is 16. So blessed to have three healthy and wonderful kids. Even more blessed that my oldest graduated from here, a Jesuit. My daughter graduated from Academy of the Holy Names, and now my youngest son is going to graduate here from Jesuit in 2 years. So I'm just thankful for the opportunities that, taking this Jesuit job had. And honestly, when I left Key West, and everybody's like, well, why would you leave Key West? And people want to retire there and go down there. And I'm like, it was the opportunities that I knew Jesuit was going to provide for my families and for my faith life and for their faith life. And that was important to my wife and I. And, I couldn't do what I do without my wife. She's a wonderful woman. I love her more than, other than God, more than anything in the world. And she means the world to me. And she gives me the freedom to be able to do what I do here with the baseball program and spend a lot of time with other people's kids, right? And it's a blessing. And, I thank God every day for her. We start school every day in convocation in the chapel. And I always say a prayer every day because it's just it means that much to me of how wonderful she is.
I'm going to cry like a baby. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's so nice to hear. You mentioned that your oldest son, the story we heard about baseball tryouts. Did your other two children play sports, or are they playing sports?
My daughter played soccer in high school, and she's at the University of Florida now. She's a student, but she did play soccer growing up, which was great for me because I didn't know anything about soccer, so I didn't have to be coach. I guess I just got to be dad. My youngest plays baseball. He's here now. He'll be on the JV team this year as a sophomore, and have a chance next year to come try out for the varsity. And honestly, like, he saw the path his older brother took, so it probably lit a little bit of a fire in him and made him work harder at a younger age because of that. So hopefully we won't have the same outcome.
Awesome. Miguel, this has been so wonderful. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on, and it's nice to always get to talk about my faith and be able to come on and share and talk a little bit about who I am as a person, more importantly than who I am as a coach. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. You bet. You bet. And audience, clearly it is fitting if we close this week's episode with a team prayer for coaches. So let's pray this together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we pray for our coaches. We thank you for their unselfish dedication to the team. We thank you for the hours they have dedicated to the team and for the honor they bring to the school by their leadership and commitment. Lord God, bless our coaches in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.